Man, it's good to see so many familiar faces again and new faces. Talk about love today. You know, as we geared up through hope and peace and joy, and thank you, Brother Larry, for coming from the bullpen last Sunday and filling in. I know it was a great message. My outline wasn't turned in on time, so you're going to have to bear with me, but I'll walk you through it. We're going to talk about love today. And I'm going to read, as you see on the screen, you'll see the NASB version, but I'm going to read from the Amplified version, so just kind of follow along with me. Let's stand up together and read from God's Word. My version says this: "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, we are even here and now children of God, and it is not yet made clear what we will be here or what we will be after his coming. We know that when he comes and is revealed, we will, as his children, be like him, because we will see him just as he is in all his glory. And everyone who has this hope confidently placed in him purifies himself just as he is pure, holy, undefiled, guiltless." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. I pray, Lord, as you provide this message to us today, that we hear something just a little different. Father, open our hearts to what you need us to hear today. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you. Well, Christmas is usually an opportunity when we make a little more time for others, when we make a little more time and an intentional love give to others, and we share more time with others around this time of year too. And although stores are packed with people last-minute shopping and people with their focused agendas to finish things up, especially tomorrow, there's a glimpse of a little extra touch, a little extra piece of love and of joy. Yet through these touches, we also must remember the empty chairs and the silent voices that are missed, whether we miss them more every year or whether we miss them for the first time this year, or there's many miles in between, or sadly through broken relationships, there is a touch of sadness for some. But yet through it all, we tend to see things just a little differently, with a different heart and a different view, with love that can only be described as a joy-filled love. And it gets us through this Christmas season because we remember that the promise and the love of a Savior can fill the emptiness that we might know. Before I get into scripture today, I want to tell a story about an experience that we had on the island. Many years, Tara and I and our family would lead up our backpack ministry or partner with our backpack ministry, where our students would buy and fill backpacks up. And our church provided all kinds of backpacks, and it went to our homeless population. And the closest mission was in Savannah, Georgia. So we would pack up our backpacks, and man, we had a day of packing, and it was great. And we traveled to Savannah, which is about 45 minutes from Hilton Head Island. Well, we were pretty proud one year that we filled 65 backpacks. And 65 backpacks for a little church on Hilton Head Island that's a lot. That's a victory for the church and for those receiving it. Well, the Savannah City Mission knew us well. We would go there often and help with the meals. We'd help provide serving to them, and I would give a message, and we would sing, and we would gather, and our students would pray for those who didn't have a home. But around Christmas time, we got to see things a little different. One year, we brought 65 backpacks, and when we walked in the door, many times when they saw a church bus pull up, they just unloaded from behind buildings, and you can see them coming from all over the place. We would serve the meal, and at that time, there was, I think we had over 101, I think that day came. And we're thinking, we only have 65 backpacks. What are we going to do? So we began to unload all the backpacks, and we put them all in this back room. We served the meal, and we came out, and I began to give a message. And it was time to give the backpacks out. Well, I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? There are so many more people than backpacks. So we began to have them line up for backpacks, and they were full, and we began to give them up, and we got through 50, and we knew we had a short amount to go, and we still had so many people left over. But then all of a sudden, underneath the backpacks were 35 more backpacks that the mission had no idea where they came from. It was amazing. Now, these backpacks didn't just appear. There were 35 backpacks that were provided to people in need. But yet, I recall this one who sat on the end, and there was always one that stood out to you. We were one short. I remember this clearly. We were one short, and I'm thinking, how is this going to go over? And I watched someone who had hardly anything open up their backpack and say, hey, I'll give half of what I have to them. Now, that's love. It's giving something away that you don't even have. It's providing something for another selflessly. And I think that's what we have to think of when we think of love around this time, Christmas. I watched the joy of those who had nothing turn into a selfless love. I watched a love that was unquestionable, unfathomable, and at times I just couldn't understand. And I believe that's the sequence of emotions as we prepare to experience a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, a hope that brings us peace and a joy that brings us an unimaginable love, a love that is born in simply believing and knowing that that love was born for you and me. We become almost myopic when we really focus in on the challenges that we walk through. And we fail to see the big picture in our lives, and we fail to see what's beyond these trials, not only to the earthly parents of Jesus, but to the world who would choose to know Jesus as the personal Lord and Savior. That love was born to get us through those trials. You see, Jesus Christ is the complete source of our joy, of our peace, of our love. And he was able to get through that horrendous agony of the cross by looking ahead what was waiting for him: the purchase of salvation for all mankind and his victory over death. And we have that same look ahead as we look to experience during Christmas. So let's get into the hope for today. Let's get into seeing love in a different light, a different perspective, to make today's story a little more personal and to carry this love through the year and not just during this time of year. For generations, people waited for and expected a Messiah, a Savior. Specifically, read about a man named Simeon in Luke. We read really a small version of what Simeon experienced, the anticipation that Brother David spoke of in his prayer today. You see, Simeon was very unique in what he knew. Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that his eyes would see the face of Jesus Christ. And Joseph and Mary, in their faithfulness to the law, they came to the temple one day to present Jesus to God. And it's during their visit to the temple that Simeon saw Jesus. Now, Simeon was only there because he was led by the Holy Spirit to be there that day. So through his obedience, he went to the temple and he recognized Jesus Christ the moment that he saw him as an infant. Simeon then said these words to Mary, in so many words, how people will respond to your child will determine their destiny. There are many who receive his message and many will be saved. Jesus will be the cornerstone of those or for those who believe and the stumbling block to those who reject him. And Mary, your son will face opposition. He will reveal truth though. And Mary, as a mother, you will endure much suffering. What a world for Jesus to be born into. But Simeon stands as a testimony of how we too should anticipate an understanding of the arrival of the Messiah, how we should have the attitude as we walk into worship, as we walk through those doors knowing that we too may see the face of Jesus. Do we ever have that feeling as we walk into worship? Do we ever expect to see that kind of love? Do we approach worship with that kind of heart? Simeon looked forward to Jesus' first coming, and we today stand in anticipation for his second coming. Simeon looked into the face of his Savior. He looked into the face of God. And we have the proof of all that came true. And we sometimes fail to realize the depth of that love. Jesus had come, and he has come to be the comfort of all who believe in him, especially during this time that we need that comfort. And Simeon was that beacon of faith. He was that beacon of faith in a very unbelieving world, provide positive insurance of that hope, of that joy, of that peace that we've already talked about this month. Can we be Simeons? Can we pursue the face of Jesus and somehow grasp the depth of his love for just a few more minutes? You see, God gave us his best. God gave us his very best. God gave us his only son. And it was brought to us in such a simple way, in such a simple place, a picture of the gospel. Do we give our best to God in return? The glue that holds our church together, the glue that holds churches together, is God's love. It binds us as a family, and it binds us as children of God. And I want you to think through what it must have been like to await the birth of Jesus Christ. There must have been what's called anticipatory love. Anticipatory love. And this anticipation is like creating the power before the happening. Whether it's the internal preparation students that you can't wait for that bell to ring to get you to that next class. Or you can't wait to eat what you've been smelling in the kitchen all day long. There's an expectancy on what's to come because it is a promise of what will be. To put it simply, I love this quote. And many of us should understand this because it comes from the great Winnie the Pooh. And it's good, simple, but good. "Well," said Pooh, "what I like best." And then he had to stop and think. Because although eating honey was a very good thing to do, there was a moment just before you began to eat it, which was better than when you were. But he didn't know what it was called. That is anticipatory love. I've never quoted Winnie the Pooh in a sermon before. But how simple that love must be, and how simple that love is for us from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The season of Advent is waiting. It's anticipating. We wait in hope. We long for peace. We become filled with this sense of joy. And we have the opportunity to experience this anticipatory love. I know many of you, and I know my children did the same thing as my sister and I did. We would sit at the top of the steps awaiting our cue that we could run down the stairs to see what was under the tree. With our bedheads, the top of the stairs, our horrible breath, we waited for that cue, the faces of anticipation, not knowing yet what would be under that tree when we took our first glimpse. What a feeling that was. Well, brothers and sisters, today we sit on the steps and await glory. Do our faces reflect the love that Jesus has lavished upon us? Do we have the anticipatory love that will change the lens on how we view Christmas this year? What a day in which it was to live for Simeon, anticipating the birth of Jesus Christ, an excitement that must have been unbearable at times, waiting and watching for that event, the greatest event that would happen in the history of the world. I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't seem that Simeon would be a man caught up in the trials and the cares of this world. I don't think the trivial matters of the world that he lived in, that he'd be a man that would be caught up in them, that would dominate his mind or dominate his decisions. He had something much bigger to think about. He was waiting for something. He knew it would happen, and it was something really big. What a day in which to live for Simeon. And what a day it is to live for us today. Because we know that the Messiah did come, and we know that he is coming. We're given proof of God's love through Jesus Christ. And the proof is here through every word. We live in a day which we can look back We can read on Simeon's time and see not only the birth of Christ, but also the finished work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. Why? Because of his love for us. We live in a day which we can anticipate with great joy, not only the celebration of his birth, but his work and the hope and the promise of his return. Why? Because of his love for us. I just wonder if we're taking the time to do that and we realize exactly what we've been given. Let's look again at the letter that John writes in 1 John chapter 3. Before I get to chapter 3, you can check out chapter 1, verse 1. In verse 1, chapter 1, John expresses to us that his faith is not blind, but it's a faith with eyes wide open, that he knew Jesus personally, and he saw the amazing love of God in Christ. And then he uses his testimony to remind us that we can still see God's love through the witness of the events of the life of Jesus, from birth to resurrection. Look at chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to 4. I'm writing about what existed from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life and aspect of his being was manifested, and we have seen it and testify and declare to you the eternal life who was with the Father and was made visible to us. What we have seen and heard, we also proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship, which is a distinguishing mark of a born-again believer, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you so that our joy in seeing you included may be complete by having you share in the joy of salvation. Wow. And then we go into the verse in chapter 3 when John writes, look, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us. He says in some versions, behold. In some he says, look. In essence, he says, look at this. Would you look at this? It's incredible quality of love that God shows us. Along with this anticipatory love we just talked about, we have an astonishing love, The Hebrew word for astonishing and amazing is a word called medahim. And I say that because that is one of those overused words from those younger Hebrew-speaking culture, just like our younger culture uses the word awesome. That word should never be used as much as it is today. To describe Jesus Christ as that diminishes the magnitude of what his name should be in our life. This love, this absolutely astonishing love given by God, is something that people can actually see, John says. It's not a warm, fuzzy, seasonal feeling, but a concrete, visible reality that's been lavished on the community that follows Christ. You see, you cannot see God's love unless you can be God's love. Perhaps many of us in worship in today's churches could benefit an occasional reminder that God has already bestowed upon each of us the thing that is most important for being the people we are called to be. We are children of God. To be a child of God, we stand in a certain position. Just like a child in a certain relationship to their parents, we're given certain privileges. And as we look at that word child, it carries a positional statement, defines a relationship, a child who's related to their given parent in a way that no one else is. And although one can say that all men and all women are children of God in the sense of being made in his image, we must be careful to read scripture where it says to differentiate from those who come into a special relationship with God as a result of the work of Jesus Christ, and then our surrender and our repentance of those who commit their life to him. We are children of God. We are not just people who are trying to be good. We are new creations. We have been transformed. We have been purchased by God with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is love. The Bible never asks us to do anything without reminding us first who we are. And John says that in those short little words to follow. And so we are. John's point in these first few verses is this. He touches on this astonishing love, this amazing love, provides comfort, and basically tells us this. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. They just don't understand. They just don't understand Jesus. And just in today's world, you can't rationalize with irrational people. Don't estimate or compare yourself by what the world thinks, because that type of thinking about love is compromised. There cannot be an understanding of the depth of the love of Jesus Christ that we're talking about. There's just no comparison. There'll be a day that we will see Jesus in all his glory. And it's only then that we'll begin to understand what he did for us, the price he paid for us, the cost of our salvation, this astonishing, amazing, medahim love. So God not only calls us his children, he actually makes us his children. In contrast to the world, we're supposed to do more than just feel his love. We are to act on his love. So we've talked about the anticipatory love. We've talked about the amazing, astonishing love. Now let's finish with the acting love. How do we act on this love that we celebrate through Christmas? Well, I call these the four P's for peace and love. Number one, pray. That's easy. We pray. We pray that the Lord softens those hearts of our family and our friends before we knock on their door. We pray for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that our actions and our words reflect that Christ-like, life-altering love. We pray for those before we even see them. Number two, we prepare. Prepare to share what God has done and is doing in your life. Your story may be the most influential story, picture of the gospel that your family will ever see, that your friends will ever see. Introduce them to Romans 1:16. 1:16 is a great little verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God, right? For it is the power of God to everyone who believes. Your life may be a vessel of hope in a storm that somebody is navigating through. And if you steer their storm with love, you just watch God work. Number three, we pay it forward. And just as we've talked about, the season tends to remind us of how rich we are in love. Others just aren't so blessed. When I say pay it forward, I mean connect with our community. And we minimize the effectiveness of that pay it forward activity. But we pay it forward not expecting to get paid back. We pay it forward to show the love of Christ for nothing in return. Because know this, these forwards are not backs. We look to watch the Lord work through the kind acts that are given in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray, prepare, pay it forward. Finally, proclaim the promise. Let's pursue the reason that we come to celebrate. The promise that was echoed through the Old Testament and lives through the New Testament should be proclaimed any chance we get. Don't not say Merry Christmas. Return the happy holidays with the Jesus loves you. When Jesus appeared as the promised one, God knew that he gave Jesus in full view of the world. It makes you realize in the end what a costly thing it is to make such a promise. The love that we receive in Jesus is the promise his life for ours. This promise born erased the sin of the world in a single day. God sent his most treasured gift, his most ultimate love. Christmas shows me that God gave all he has for us. A promise that love can and should lead our lives, and a promise found in the name of who? Of Jesus Christ. God promised that he'd be with us, and his promise through his love is offered to each one of us. And each one of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So as we bring this to a close, there is one slide that I hope that you'll see. This Christmas is about love, because we've come to know that God is love. It's turning from a me first to He first. That's the hallmark of Christmas. So as you look at bringing Jesus back into focus, it's erasing our self-love and tuning into the depth of His love and loving others as Jesus loves you. It's bringing that name Jesus, that person Jesus, back into your focus and loving others as Jesus loves you. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for the reminder of bringing You back into our focus. Lord, as we approach these next few days with family and friends, allow us to reach a little deeper for love. Allow us to love those who are hard to love. Allow us to turn away any bitterness that we have from others and teach the kind of love that Jesus has taught us, a selfless kind of love. Keep us safe, Lord, as we travel. Allow others to come into full view, Lord, so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Give us the, empower us, Lord, and give us the energy and the wisdom and the focus to be Christ-like for You, to be that hope, that peace, and the joy, and that love that was born we celebrate today. We love You, we thank You, pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I'll be down front as I always am to receive you if you would like prayer today. If you'd like to bring prayers to the altar this afternoon, we'd pray with you or allow you to pray and allow that not to come between you and the Lord as you approach this week. Perhaps a day today that you may make a decision to allow Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, to allow this love become a little more personal to you. If you've not made that decision today, perhaps today is the day that we can celebrate with you. Or perhaps a day that you'd like to come and join Shiloh family. There's nothing else like it. We'd love to greet you today. Let's stand together and sing.